So on our this last session in Lazarus, I always try to do something really practical, but we really kind of tried to do that the whole time. And so these won't be new things for most of CTKers, but every time I talk about these things, it's new to me. So my prayer is that it'll be new to you, and you'll have fresh ears, and you'll break through further out of the enemy's reach into whatever areas you're struggling with. There's two things I said in the Sunday school hour that I want to start with, and that is this. One's about faith, and the other's about favor. And it's really important that you hear this, is that God deals with us who are in Christ. God deals with us at every level based on the favor Jesus has with God. Now, if you believe that, it'll change your life forever. Your level of expectation will go through the roof. So let me say it again. God deals with us at every level based on the favor Jesus has with God, because you're in Christ. You're in Christ. You've been grafted into his life. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Why? Because you're in Christ. So every spiritual blessing, you would admit that every spiritual blessing there is rests on Christ. Amen? Well, you're in him. So it doesn't say that you could be blessed or you might be blessed if you pray enough or fast enough. It says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's in light of that that prompts me to pray. It's in light of that that prompts me to fast, because I want to see more. I want to see more clearly. I want to hear more. I want to discover more. That's a great description of favor. Blessed already with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So you might go, what the enemy might put in your head, well, that's good. I'd like to, how do I get them out of the heavenly places into my life? Not a good question. You are in the heavenly places in Christ. You're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. One of the things, and I've mentioned this before, that I love about worship for me is that even though I'm with us corporately, I can hear our the sound. I know I pray in union with Jesus because I pray in his name. I know that I worship in union with Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So when God became man, he reconciled man to God. He brought the two together to live in union. When you are born again, you've accepted that gift and you begin to walk it out. It's been provided for everyone, but only those who accept the acceptance get to walk it out. I discovered a verse I'd never paid attention to before in this week of just sort of renewing my mind with some things. And it says in Matthew 12:19 that Jesus doesn't quarrel. That'll change your family's existence. If you believe that Christ is your life and that you live your life from that union with him, again, Jesus was woven into the fabric of humanity's existence, your existence, so that you could be woven into the fabric of his. And you're no longer trying to be like him. You're simply allowing him to be who he is, manifested through your humanity. And Jesus doesn't quarrel. Now, the only reason that you want to keep quarreling is because you want to keep quarreling. And I guess it's a lot of fun to quarrel. It must feel really good to quarrel, or why would we keep doing it? I think that's a prophetic word for some of us. No, you don't have to do that anymore. And you won't stop quarreling by trying to stop quarreling. You'll stop quarreling by abiding in Christ. And just childlike faith, thank him who lives in you. Whenever you get tempted, he doesn't quarrel. And you know what? You won't, because he will be your lifeboat. It would change some of you and your family experience forever if the Jesus who doesn't quarrel could be manifest in your family's life. I love stuff like that. So, again, God deals with us on every level based on the favor Jesus has with God. Now, having said that, I want you to turn to John 15. I'm going to try to make this really simple because I'm a super, super simple person. And as I say a lot, we're called sheep because we're not spiritual rocket scientists. And God loves to make it simple. So let me just say this too. Now, I'm going to pause. And this is not because family. Because I try to do not just brag on family all the time, because you're all my family. And I love you just as much. There's no difference in anybody. But I didn't think she's going to be here today. So I wanted to say something to her publicly. So I thought I'll say it next week. I just had thought about all the children that are in this church who've come through foster care, many who've been adopted. And it's because of the courage of my daughter-in-law. And she just walked in. And I just wanted to say thank you, Kristen. I don't know why the Lord reminded me of that this week, but he did. Because it affects my life a lot. I've got 400 little children that are somehow related to me that came through foster care. So John 15. He's just got through in John 14 talking about the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes live in you, that you'll experience Christ being in you and you being in him. This union, this mutual indwelling. And then he says, I am the true vine, verse 1 of chapter 15. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's a bad translation. It's actually, in the original language, he lifts up. Every branch in me does not bear fruit, he lifts up. Because he came to rescue, not to condemn. He came to transform, not to condemn. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. The word there is the word cleanse. He cleanses. So every time in Christ, we'll just use the example. I get a situation with someone and they're trying to quarrel with me about something. And what they're trying to say may be right, but they're wanting to get in an argument with me. And Jesus doesn't do that. And so I already know that. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to remind me of that, but the Holy Spirit likes to remind me because he must know I need to be reminded all the time. He said he would lead us into all truth, right? Jesus is the truth, so he leads me into all things Jesus. He's my helper. He's my tour guide into the stewarding the life of Christ. And nothing that that person's doing changes the truth about who he is to me. So the Holy Spirit's now publishing the truth about Jesus in me to give me an opportunity to abide. And so he speaks, Jesus says, by the Holy Spirit, I don't quarrel. And in that moment, I just sink into him, surrender. And in childlike faith, I say, thank you. We don't. And then something supernatural happens. And the desire to quarrel goes away. He just cleansed me. He just cleansed me. You with me? Every time you repent, think with, there's a cleansing. We always think of this, if you're going through a really hard time, God's pruning you. But he could be doing a bunch of stuff in your life when you're going through a hard time. In this world, you have stress, tribulation. But he's just talking about this abiding walk, this abiding life. And he's cleansed me. And I've broken through. I've experienced the glory of the non-quarreling Jesus manifested in me and through me. And by my stripes, that person might get healed in front of me. By not quarreling, they may encounter Christ. And then I maybe can say to them, is there something going on inside of you? Why are you angry? Because I can't be offended with them. I'm loving them too much to be offended with them. But there was a breakthrough for me. I'm experiencing glory. And I was cleansed because maybe I would have quarreled at times. You hear me? The ones that bear fruit, the ones who really want to go after this, the ones who really want to experience their destiny, and your destiny is Christ-likeness, is a predestiny. Every one of us who really want to experience all of that, you want to live with your head filled with signs and wonders, because Jesus' head is filled with signs and wonders, because that's a sign. When somebody's trying to quarrel with you, maybe they're saying something really offensive and personal, and you don't, because when you throw rocks at a fruit tree, it doesn't throw rocks back, it gives fruit. That's a sign and wonder. For those who are bearing fruit, the cleansing thing just increases, and it's not, being cleansed is good. It's not this ouchy thing, it's, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I didn't quarrel. That's a miracle. And I'm not mad at this person. I love him more than I did before. Because that's the truth of who he is in us. That's the supernatural life. So he explains it more. He said in verse 3, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Then he says in verse 4, these are these famous verses, 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from abiding in him, no matter how fruitful a Christian life you want to live, you can't do it. Sincerity is not enough. Willpower won't cut it. He uses the word abide. So the word abide literally means to remain or to rest. Rest in me, and I'll rest in you. What does that mean? If you'll rest in me, I can rest trying to contend with your resistant will all the time. I can just spread out and be myself in you. That's what it says in Isaiah 66, that God is looking for a resting place. And in the language there is among humanity. What does that mean? He's looking for a person who he's not having to continually contend with their resistant will. So just rest in me. Abide in me, and I will rest in you. I'm in you. Every Christian's in Christ. Amen? That's what makes you a Christian. Every Christian's in Christ. It's what makes you a Christian. But it doesn't mean that every Christian abides in Christ. And if you don't abide in Christ, often you won't act like a Christian. You may have learned to wear veils and fake it when you're around others, but when the drawbridge is pulled up and it's just the people you kind of live with, they know. But more importantly, you know. And there's nothing worse than to live with that sense of defeat, disappointment in yourself. And the enemy just bores in and condemns. And there's no condemnation for those in Christ. God doesn't change us that way, but the enemy takes advantage, doesn't he? So here's the thing. I've said this a lot. You've heard it, CTKers. But every time I think it, it just blows my doors off. I didn't finish that dinner. People often will teach this. You can read books about this in John 15. Like, here's a branch, and the vine is like those from, and there's these branches. And so you're a branch attached to a vine, trying to get the life of the vine out of the vine into the branch. But that's thinking as if you were separate from him. He says in 1 Corinthians 6 that you're one spirit with him. Remember 1 John 4:17? As he is. Now let this one sink in. As he is, so are you in this world. Huh? Well, no one can be free from quarreling or whatever. Because as he is, so are you in this world, because he's in you and you're in him. And so you're not a branch attached to a vine trying to get the life of the vine into the branch. You're part of the vine called branch. If you drive by a grape arbor, you don't just see, oh, what a beautiful branch. No, it's a beautiful grapevine. And the branches are just part of the grapevine. You're one with him. You're not just attached, you're part of the vine called branch through which the vine produces fruit. And our role is to bear that fruit, to rest in. What a branch does is simply rest in, this remains, rest in and receives the life of the vine. And fruit is just vine life on display. It's called Christlikeness. It looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Looks like unconditional love, a life that just walks in effortless forgiveness towards others. So think about this. Let's read those two verses again. And I like to read them. Rest in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it rests in the vine, so neither can you unless you rest in me. So you're in him, so rest in him. I am the vine, the source of life, the source of the Christian life. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who rests in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing. So I'm so grateful that in every situation I face, I'm not apart from him. I'm a part of him. So let's think about it. And I use this analogy a lot. I borrowed this one from Hudson Taylor. If I pull up, well, he didn't use the exact one because if I pull up to a bank and I stick my hand out with a check and I give it to the teller and the teller gives the check back to me and says, I'm sorry, I can't cash this check for the arm. Now I can cash this check for Mr. Jones, but I can't give the money to the arm. And I would say, well, the arm is part of Mr. Jones. The arm's not apart from Mr. Jones. It's a part of Mr. Jones. So to give it to the arm is to give it to Mr. Jones. Is it possible for Jesus, who's the vine, you're the branch, you're one. You're part of the vine called branch, but you're part of the vine called branch. You're one with the vine. Can the vine have wisdom and the branch not have it? No. Can the vine have anointing to heal and the branch not have it? No. Can the vine have strength and the branch not have strength? How about internal strength? Like, no. Because have you ever been in situations where you go, I just don't think I can do this anymore. I just don't think I can take this anymore. Jesus doesn't give you strength apart from him. He is your strength. Again, can the vine have strength and the branch not have it? No. Can the vine have peace and the branch not have that peace? No. Oh, it's the peace of God that I get to experience that passes understanding. It doesn't require me understanding anything. He understands everything. That's what he says in John 16. The disciples finally figured it out. You know all things. They didn't have to. And so it's the peace of God that passes understanding. And I can know peace, God's peace, how God feels on the inside when everything's getting hectic and weird and crazy. You ever had hectic, weird, crazy days? Now, look at some of y'all who have business and stuff, and I know, I understand. I had a hectic, weird, crazy last couple of weeks. But Jesus never does the I quits. Jesus never does the I can't. As a matter of fact, Paul said, while he was in prison, by the way, happy circumstance, facing possible death sentence from Nero, Paul said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Wow. Because he had just said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. That's crazy. Wouldn't that be fun? That was Paul, just like you, Paul, a person just like us, said that. While in prison, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. No wonder he's able to say, do all things without murmuring or complaining. Because he had learned to be content in whatever circumstances he's in. And in the very next verse says, he said, for I can do all things through Christ, in Christ, who strengthens me. Oh, because Jesus has strength for no matter what it is you're going through. Strength that impacts you mentally and emotionally. Jesus doesn't stress out. He said, I'm just so stressed out. I know what it's been to be stressed out. I can be stressed out. I've made an art form of stressed out at times. But I never claimed to be abiding in Christ while I was doing it. I certainly wasn't resting in him. Didn't feel like rest. Felt like stressing out. He said, well, I have a tendency toward anxiety. That's my history. I was mentally ill. I suffered from clinical anxiety and clinical depression. And then I discovered that I was a branch that had been grafted into a vine. Now I'm part of the vine called branch. As long as I rest in him, walking one step at a time, I bear fruit. I don't mean that ministry. That's part of it. I mean, I'm bearing the fruit of the righteousness of Christ, the rightness of Christ, the unbrokenness of Christ. And so when you wake up tomorrow and you see all the things ahead of you, go ahead and thank him, because not that you're adequate. Because you see, if you're not abiding, it's difficult to trust the wisdom that comes out of you. You should not, because there's only two kinds of wisdom, that which comes from above and that which is earthly and fleshly and demonic. It has a demonic edge to it. But the wisdom that comes from above is peaceable and reveals the unbrokenness, the righteousness, the unbrokenness of Jesus. And so for those who are going through just again, this is my language. The language I use is from those words, put on, sink into, expression of just surrender, resting. Whenever I find myself moment by moment, abiding for me, it looks like, I know Christ is in me, I'm in him. I can't face anything that he, the branch or the vine, is inadequate for. So if the branch, if the vine is adequate, can the branch not be? Because the adequacy is flowing in me. I don't have to try to get it to flow. It's just flowing in all your ways. He said, just acknowledge me. And so in each situation, I'll just stop. And often I'll hear the Holy Spirit speak to me like, I have peace about this. I go, you have peace about this? He says, yes. So I would have faith. I'm not believing that he can manifest his peace through me, hoping that he will manifest through me, begging that he would manifest through me. His grace is sufficient. His free activity in my life is a gift. And so I just sink into and say thanks. And a miracle happens. Union's manifested. The fruit of Christ, peace, flows in me. And then we can say, I can say, yes, Lord, we're at peace here. We have peace about this. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Can the branch have joy and the vine not? I mean, the vine have peace, joy and the branch not? No. I find the enemy hitting me with shadows. I just stop. Say, Lord, I just sink into you. Thank you that you're my joy. And it happens. He happens. You get tempted to lust. Jesus doesn't. He's been tempted. He was tempted in every way, but he overcame. So he's got experience with that in your humanity. So you just stop. You don't have to count to 10 or whatever it is you do. You just sink into him. Because you see, the person who's controlled by lust died on the cross with Jesus. Jesus is now your life, and he doesn't control by that. So you just stop and sink into him. You just rest in him and say thank you. And you'll discover that the purity of Christ that's in the vine is now flowing through the branch. And Christ is being your victory. You get asked to pray for somebody and it seems really intimidating because headaches are fun to pray for. But somebody's got cancer, that's scary. In that moment, just remember that you're in Christ and sink into him and thank him for his anointing and pray. You say, well, what if I don't get healed? I don't know. My part's to abide. I'm not a fruit producer. I'm a branch. I'm a fruit bearer. There's no pressure on me. I just need to abide. Well, I love all of you so much. That's always true for Christ the King. I love all of you so much. And for those of you who come through this weekend, thank you for coming. Alrighty.